Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven to draw upon the wisdom of the saints to help us to navigate the tumult of this crazy life. And we have a special guest with us today.
We do. A special guest, a special man.
Yes.
And a special friend.
And just as a teaser, I believe he's the best spiritual theologian alive in the church today.
So since you never say that, now everybody knows who it is before I introduce it.
I doubt
I'm being facetious,
yeah.
Because you say that a lot. Yeah. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Very, very special man. So it's my joy to introduce Dr. Anthony Lillis, who has spent decades as head of formation for three seminaries and is the author of Fire from Above, Christian Contemplation and Mystical Wisdom. He completed his doctoral work at the Angelicum in Rome on St. Elizabeth of the Trinity and is the co-founder of the Avila Institute for Spiritual Formation and our dear friend. Welcome, Dr. Lillis. It's good to see you this morning.
It's wonderful to be with you, Stephanie. Thank you for that very kind introduction.
Thanks for getting up so early to talk to us. I was shocked when I heard this claim that exorcism, that penance or confession is more powerful than exorcism. And I guess I was shocked because I've always seen exorcism as being very powerful. Stephanie and I have served in exorcism ministry, supporting the priest, and seen the power of God work there in mighty ways. But there is something more powerful than exorcism, and that is penance or confession. Why is that, Dr. Lillis?
It has to do with the nature of what a sacrament is, in contradistinction to other rites of the church. In a sacrament, Christ himself touches the soul who receives the sacrament. Christ himself is present in the minister who ministers the sacrament. And while that's true in an exorcism in a different kind of way, and it is true that Christ himself exercises in the church, these seven mysteries or these seven signs have been set aside by the church as being like the chief, the principal, and the most effective way that Jesus touches souls today through the ministry of the church. So that's a kind of a short answer. All the other rites flow from these seven sacraments, and they lead back to the seven sacraments. And so exorcism has that role in the church. It prepares people for baptism. We have minor rites and for baptismal grace, and at the same time it flows from them. And so if an exorcism is given someone after baptism, it's usually to prepare them for the sacrament of reconciliation.
That's beautiful. Christ present in our sacraments directly. So it begs the question, because we hear a lot about, you know, all kinds of deliverance ministry and such. Can a priest perform minor exorcism or deliverance while offering confession? You know, can he layer that? And how would that work? And maybe why would it be necessary?
There's a couple different answers to that. Major exorcisms, only certain priests who have the faculties can exercise those rites or perform those rites for the faithful. And it's always under the authority of the bishop. The major exorcism comes from the fullness of the priesthood of Christ, which resides in the bishop, and the bishop kind of loans those faculties to a priest. In confession, the rite itself, the structure of the rite, is this encounter with Jesus in the conversation that takes place between the confessor and the penitent. And in the very structure of that of that forum is already soliciting the acts of the penitent, the confession, the contrition, disposing them and preparing them for the penance that they'll take up. And so whatever is done in the confessional in terms of counsel or in terms of extra prayers, including prayers of deliverance and perhaps even a minor exorcism, as long as it fits in that forum and it doesn't distract from the forum itself, that I think the confessor has a great deal of freedom. More elaborate prayers or prayers that are going to take a little bit more time and discernment has the ministry of deliverance and exorcism requires. Those prayers are better outside the forum of confession so that it doesn't distract from the ministry that's taking place in that sacrament itself.
So just to repeat back to you, I think it's an important point you made, is obviously we began with the question, which is, or the assertion, which you validated, that confession is more powerful than exorcism. So then, if there's any supplemental care for the penitent in confession, that can only take place as long as it protects the sacrament and what should be happening in the sacrament on the part of the penitent and the priest. That's preeminent because that has the most power. But then secondarily, there may be some short, you're saying, some brief interventions that a priest can do. Do you have any examples of what that might look like?
Recently at the, we just finished a Confessor's Institute in Santa Cruz, California, and Father Gary Thomas described that what might be appropriate if a confessor notices that someone is afflicted with a spirit and is trying to confess their sins and the spirit is interrupting their confession, a confessor can bind and renounce and reject that spirit, and even lead the penitent in a short little prayer for that purpose, so that the penitent may then complete his confession. You know, and so by an afflicted soul, someone who is dealing with an evil spirit that is preventing them from, in this case, confessing their sins and showing and expressing the contrition that is required. The authority of a priest, and every priest has this authority. This does not require special authority from faculties from the bishop. The priest simply leads the penitent in the simple prayer. The penitent, and in that simple prayer, the penitent finds the freedom to complete his confession and receive absolution. That would be an example of something that is short in the form of confession and helps the sacrament of penance and reconciliation, you know, come to a completion.
Yeah, I'm thinking in a little bit like, well, some examples would be maybe addictions where people feel like they can't get free and they're coming back and back.
Yeah, habitual sin.
Habitual sin, you know, addictions. Maybe they have an issue with anger or unforgiveness where they want to be free desperately.
Yeah.
And they keep going to confession, but there's some other nefarious force holding them from perhaps perfect contrition or being able to get past it.
That's a great question, because what Dr. Lillis described was a pre-care, if you will, almost. So before the penitent can properly engage in confession, there's a little deliverance prayer. So Dr. Lillis, what do you think about Stephanie's question about habitual sin and the priest's ability in confession to deal with, to help with that through some kind of deliverance?
Sure. Although there may be something appropriate in the forum itself, that would be the kind of thing a priest might do beyond the form of confession, outside and working with the person one-on-one, especially in an addiction. You know, one one priest during the Institute, one of our speakers, I think it was Jerome Agat, was speaking about how when it comes to addiction, he emphasizes to the addict, you know, look, I'm here for you. If you want to beat this thing, I'm here for you all the time. And that means, you know, you call me, you come to the rectory and we're going to meet every week or every other day until we beat this thing. And in that form, which could be in confession, but also outside it, the priest is ministering and he's going to help the penitent deal with all kinds of different spirits that may be holding him back in the particular thing of addiction. And so things can happen in the form, but when you're dealing with a situation as complex as addiction, outside the form, where for the extra accountability, one of the things that dispels evil is dispels the influence of evil spirits is simply naming them, getting them out loud. You say what they are, they lose so much of their authority, their influence over somebody's life. And that's part of what happens in the confession of sin. The instance I was giving was, somebody's trying to confess their sins and they seem to be evasive of one sin or another. They seem not to be able to confess what's on their conscience. And the priest might ask them, already be discerning. I wonder why this guy's having such a hard time confessing this particular thing. He's almost there, but he can't get it out. And in this instance, just to clarify something, the priest isn't looking for perfect contrition in a confession, although that's always wonderful when it happens. He's looking for even the lowest forms of attrition. Attrition, so that he can grant absolution. And so, do you see how in the form it's very, very focused on helping the penitent meet the minimum requisites he need to receive absolution? And if the evil one tries to interfere with that, the priest has the authority to tell the evil spirit to get out, and because he doesn't belong in that form. I don't even think the evil spirit understands what's going on in that form, but sometimes he manifests himself because he knows whatever it is, he doesn't like it. And, such is the power of Christ and the efficacy of the blood being poured out in that conversation.
Very good. When we get back from the break, we're going to talk about the Confessor's Institute because I'm so excited to hear and to be a part of course, because it's part of the Abel Institute. What's going on there, Dr. Lillis, and how it's affecting the guys who are coming in. So when we get back from the break, we'll learn more about the incredible power and liberation of the gift of confession, spiritual warfare, and priestly care. We'll be right back. Hey, friends. Divine friendship, the supernatural love of the Trinity, and the mystical body. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a pretty exciting topic. Well, it's a new course at the Abel Institute, School of Spiritual Formation, which means if you're busy, but you would like the kind of formation you could get if you were taking a master's degree course, but in terms of quality, but something configured for a busier life, really you should check out this course, avila-institute.org, avila-institute.org, taught by Dr. David Arias. And it's a brand new course, Divine Friendship, Supernatural Love of the Trinity, and the Mystical Body. Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio. We're here with Dr. Anthony Lillis. He has been the academic dean of three seminaries. He has a doctorate on then Blessed Elizabeth of the Trinity, St. Elizabeth, co-founder, now St. Elizabeth, co-founder of the Abel Institute, he is heading up a brand new initiative that we're super excited to share with our priests. And please, by the way, if you're a layperson, share this show with your priest. Every faithful priest is going to be excited about what we're talking about today. But Stephanie, you had a question you wanted to jump in on related to all of this.
Yeah, it was a bit of, you know, curiosity here because this is all really beautiful and good. The question that begs to be asked is, don't all priests already know this? Aren't they all already fully trained in this? And what would be the need for a confessor's institute in the first place?
Oh, well, Stephanie, that's a pretty powerful question. And, you know, I've had the honor, the great privilege of being in seminary formation of one kind or another for the last 30 years. And one of the things that happens in seminary is that there is so much that we're asked to cover, we can't really cover everything that that a priest needs to know. And in fact, the one of the original titles for one of the talks, we changed it, was, you know, everything you need to know to hear confessions but didn't learn in seminary. And we
a little tongue in cheek, right?
Yeah, we laughed about it, and but we did address that question. Given the limits of what seminary is, and you're teaching men who've never heard confessions, you don't really hear that till after ordination. You're not even able to understand the questions that can come up until you've experienced ministry in the sacrament. And so that's this Confessor's Institute, the necessity of it is to help get at those things that emerge and usually leave a priest somewhat confounded, you know, how do I go from here? And oftentimes in the old days, you had the pastor of the parish would kind of mentor this younger priest into the art of hearing confession, among other things. He'd mentor him in that. We don't really have that anymore in most dioceses in the United States. And so a lot of times confessors are left to themselves to try to figure things out. There might be a workshop, but after doing the Institute, I realized that those workshops are few and far between. So that going back to this, then I your question, you know, don't all priests already know this? And not necessarily. It's just not the case. Or if they've known it, they've known about it, they've heard about it, maybe they went to a conference at some point. It's very, very rare and unusual that they should be able to get together with a group of their peers, confessor peers, and have a frank and meaningful discussion about what this means on a practical basis. And that's what the Confessors Institute is about. We formed a faculty over the course of last year. Seminary personnel, Father Jerome Magat, Father Thomas, Gary Thomas from St. Patrick's Seminary served there, couple priests, Dominican Father Jesse Mango from the Archdiocese of Port of Spain. He's a missionary of mercy appointed by Pope Francis for a lifetime with special faculties to hear confessions that are normally reserved for the Holy See, and Father Francis Mary of New York, who is a CFR and is the kind of second servant of the community, and as well as having ample experience in formation. Dr. Margaret Turek started us off. Anyway, it was a really powerful lineup of wonderful speakers, but it became clear with each one of these priests and presenters who have ample experience. Joe Holcroft also helped out. He was amazing. He oversees the High Calling Program. That these kinds of conversations do not happen regularly, and that there's a lot that we may be taking for granted in the church, and providing this kind of forum is really, really needed today, because the faithful are getting just the way our culture is. Our culture is boorish and materialistic, hedonistic, and that's opening up whole worlds of sin. At the same time, more and more of the faithful are playing around with witchcraft and Ouija boards and things that open them up to very bad things in their heart. And so affliction is happening a lot more. There is a lot more problems with addiction than we've had in the past, and very, very difficult marital situations or couples not living in marriage. A whole list of things that maybe 50 years ago we didn't deal with at all, and maybe 20 years ago they were coming up, but not as an intense now. But now not just people who are dealing with same-sex attraction or other issues around chastity, but their family members and gender dysphoria and a whole host of very difficult issues. And we haven't provided that advanced training that these issues call for when you're dealing with a soul in the confessional, to lead them not only to understand the moral situation that they're in, but also to an encounter with Jesus. And that's what kind of gets lost a little bit, is the sacrament can become a transactional experience for the penitent and even the confessor, rather than an exercise of spiritual fatherhood, where the confessor as a spiritual father is engendering the filial love of Christ Jesus in the soul of the penitent by listening to the sin, listening to the contrition, and affirming it, challenging it, encouraging it, and removing any blocks to it, whether it's wounds that need to be healed or spirits that are preventing it from coming out, you know. So this is I've gone on a little bit too much, and forgive me, Stephanie, but your question is so powerful. We need to help our priests have these kind of confessions so that they can be present in the confessional as spiritual fathers who are leading people deep into the mystery of Christ, deep into the mercy of the Father.
Yeah, absolutely. And what really moved me about what you were saying was the idea of being a spiritual father in the confessional, that it not be transactional. And is it efficacious? Yes. If I go in and confess and he says three Hail Marys and I leave and everything's right in right order, but there's a power when we have such a crisis of spiritual fatherhood in our culture that we need to be able to go into the confessional and feel the presence of the Lord. So I think at the core of all this is the deep life of prayer and oneness of the priest with Christ himself in adoration, in mental prayer and such, which I know is at the core of everything that the Avila Institute does, the Avila Foundation, and this new endeavor of ours called the Priestly Renewal. So we want to point you to this website. If you want to find out more information, send it to your priests. All our priests out there who listen on a regular basis, please check this out. It's called priestlyrenewal.org, priestlyrenewal.org, to get more information on how you can engage or your priest can engage in this important new initiative of ours.
And Dr. Lois, this is an initiative that's it's co-sponsored, if you will, by Avila Institute and St. Patrick Seminary, correct?
That's right.
Right way to say it.
Yeah, that I would say, it's co-sponsored, and that's one of the reasons why so many of the members of the St. Patrick's faculty have gotten involved with it, and it's been a great partnership. It's been good for the faculty too. We've had some really great conversations around this.
Just in case somebody hears this, you know, right away and is looking for something like this, this show is being recorded July 1st, 2025. What's the next conference we're doing for this purpose, and where is it going to be located?
We have one scheduled a year from now, and we're looking at we're still trying to
work out the details
right now, but okay. It will be on the East Coast, either in Florida or Long Island.
Okay, and great. So priestlyrenewal.org, we'll have the listing, right, of the, is that where they'll be the conferences available will be listed. And then also, we just have 1 minute left. We also have a spiritual direction program that you're heading up for priests. Tell us briefly about that and our next opportunity for that that effort.
Yeah, Joseph Holcroft is working with me on this, but we'll be in Italy in Assisi in October with our spiritual direction program for priests. It prepares priests for the spiritual direction of young men who are discerning their vocation. And there's this very specialized kind of spiritual direction. It's a online program, but we have a retreat at the beginning, and our retreat will be in Assisi, Italy, in October. And you can find out more about it at priestlyrenewal.org.
All right. And this is all the name of what we're doing. Of course, it's Avila Institute High Calling, but it's the Initiative for Priestly Renewal. We're very excited and blessed to be able to serve our priests. You know, we expect so much of them, and it actually is striking a nerve with me as I say it. We expect so much of them and are so quick to criticize them, but so slow to give them what they need. So I'm speaking to lay people now. You should point your priest to this, and you should offer to pay for them to go. You know, if you want your priest to be holier, you want him to be rested, you want him to be all that you want him to be, great. But you got to pray for him, you got to support him, and you got to give him what he needs to fulfill his mission. So with that, we conclude our Divine Intimacy Radio exploration with Dr. Lillis.
It was great to have you with us, Dr. Lillis.
So good to be with you, Stephanie and Dan. What a blessing the two of you are. This show is a message of hope. Thank you.
As are you. Until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.